Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I'm joined now in the studio by Chef Mark Moriarty. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much,
Claire. Lovely to see you again. And you're back on our TV screens with Off Duty Chef. This is next week. It's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's different this time around.
Bringing it home is the sort of subtitle. Yeah, look, we're in season 5 now, which is scary, of the show, which is great. It means people are engaging with it. Yeah. Years are flying by. And again, it's all about simple recipes, basic ingredients. It has to be a really practical show for people at home. I think that's key to the success of it over the last few years.
You have to leave all your chefiness behind
Absolutely.
Now for the telly.
And it's so long now that I'm getting so used to the off-duty chef that the on-duty chef is getting tougher, where it used to be the reverse. But it's all about, we're cooking dishes, so it was, how do we mix it up? How do we add another layer? So we said, my parents, full-time down in Kerry, where my father's from, that's where I would have worked originally, where I kind of gained interest in food. And I said, it's such a beautiful part of the world, why not showcase it? Give the show a bit of a sense of place, showcase Ireland really nicely. It's beautiful to look at. And like, because we're using simple ingredients, a lot of the time people go into the supermarkets, and I see younger people now coming through the kitchens and work, no clue where the food actually comes from or the idea behind how it's produced.
Mm-hmm.
And like with the climate the last few months, it's very relevant in today's news. So we wanted to show, okay, the carrots coming out of the ground, the lambs in the fields, just to give, I suppose, that bit more sense that people would have had maybe 30, 40 years ago of where ingredients come from.
Yeah, it doesn't all come from the fridge.
No, it doesn't. And mince is not just coming from a plastic packet. It actually has to be produced and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that.
For you then, Kerry's quite special, because is that where the interest in food and in cooking started?
Yeah, I was... We used to spend every summer down there, weekends, whatnot. I was fortunate enough to always to have, I suppose, my home in Dublin and my crew of friends and place and the same inventory, and had a crew of friends and family down there. Would have been big into fishing. We always had an inshore fishing boat. So without realising it as a kid, I was gaining an understanding of why this fish is really nice and the fish from the supermarket maybe isn't. Would have grown herbs and carrots and fish boxes out the back, which I suppose is a bit unusual for a kid of 7 or 8 years of age.
Yeah.
And then the interest grew out of that, and I was fortunate. I'm the sort of YouTube TV generation where Heston Blumenthal and Gordon Ramsay were coming on TV, so I was kind of saying, well, I could actually turn this interest into a job. Then I ended up getting a job in the Chart House in Dingle, which is a bib gourmand restaurant for the longest ever in Ireland, and worked.
Was that while you were still at school?
Still
or
at
when
school,
you,
yeah. I went in at, Jim McCarthy took me on at 16 years of age, absolutely clueless. Still get, I actually get shivers sometimes thinking about it. I mean, crying in the cold room every second day, because there was only 4 chefs in the kitchen. So it was like, yeah, you're a kid and you've no clue, but we still have 90 people for dinner. So
you were thrown straight in, were you, at 16?
Yeah. And to like, that's kind of how, it's the best way. You can do all the college courses and read all the books and do all the study. Throw yourself in at the deep end in any job and work on your feet. If you've any sort of a brain, it's the best way to progress really quickly.
So how much or how little did you know when you went in?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I knew how to, I thought I was so cool dusting icing sugar on a tart for dessert. And they were brilliant to me, because I would help out with the desserts and I would do a bit of the veg prep, but then I would also have to jump in and wash the pots and clean, turn over the cutlery, because it was one of these, there was only 4 or 5 of us in the kitchen, so everyone had to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough that I think my parents had a word with the owner saying, listen, don't be treating them like a kid, because if he doesn't want to do this, we'd like him to find out now, as opposed to in his mid-20s. So there was a fair bit of tough love, and I loved it.
But you'd already decided that was what you wanted to do.
I had a few ropey moments. That's the first summer.
Well, crying in the cold storeroom, I can imagine that
splitting
was
splitting holidays
difficult.
Every day for 3 months will do it to you. But no, and then it was funny. There was a couple of moments in my second summer there where I remember crying my eyes out at home, going, I can't do this. This is so difficult, whatever. And my parents, my mother Monica, saying, that's fine, Mark, if you don't want to do it. Great to learn that at 17 years of age, but you've given a commitment to work until the end of the summer. So get up out of the bed, finish the end of summer, and then you can do something else. And it was amazing when you broke through that barrier in any job. It became easy really, really quickly. It wasn't about giving up at the first time. The kind of pressure came on. So yeah, when it comes back to the show, I have all these sort of career moments and memories from that part of the world that have been so crucial to my development,
well,
to where I am.
It's
there.
The county that made you, it sounds, you know?
Yeah.
To get through the barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always said I'd love to go back and do a service in the Chart House to see now, after 15 years down the line, it would probably be really, really easy.
How you would cope with it.
How you would cope with it, yeah. Mm. It's just, again, the lack of experience. And at 17 years of age, you're pretty immature as well. Like, but you learned to work fast. You learned to listen. You learned to not make a mistake twice. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to going into college at 18, sure, I was kind of 3 summers in a top restaurant under my belt.
Exactly. And you knew what you were doing. Yeah. So then, you know, we were talking about, you know, Chefy, you, and then the home cooking. Do you still feel that you're inspired by that heartiness that you grew up eating? And we've spoken before about the influence that your mother has on your cooking. Do you still find it, is it like a step down having to cook those meals for you because you're, you know, Heston Blumenthal and you're at that level and that's what you really admire?
Mm. No, I take as much enjoyment from, like, I've just come this morning from a book shoot, and I think the dish we did just before I left was spiced lamb chops with baba ganoush and mint. And we were doing, styling it up, making sure the seasoning was bang on, dressing it on a plate. And I actually am taking as much enjoyment from doing simple food really, really well.
Oh, that simple, is it?
As well, okay. we did scones yesterday. Okay. But I take as much enjoyment from the attention to detail in that. And I take as much enjoyment as I would in the restaurant from showcasing how to poach an egg properly on the TV show and having people go, do you know what? Of all the things, it was the scone you made and how to poach an egg that have resonated with people.
Mm-hmm.
With the books now and the TV shows and the Irish Times column at the weekend and whatnot, I'm kind of getting my job satisfaction from people relating to what I'm doing and actually making the stuff and having success in their own kitchen and saying, do you know what, I used your spaghetti bolognese recipe and my kids just absolutely loved it because I added a bit of mustard and soy sauce to it. And it's brilliant.
It's gratifying, is it?
It's gratifying.
That you can, yeah.
And it's, yeah, from a business point of view, I'm running my own business and I work for myself. It's, what do people actually want? What mm-hmm. do they want to see on RT and Off Duty Chef? And giving people what they want, but also retaining that sort of trust that people go, well, do you know what? He worked in a 2 Michelin star restaurant.
He knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
That's the key.
So with this new series then, what sort of dishes, what are the standout ones that you think of when you think of the ones that we might like? Because you know now what people want and what people like through the various things that you've mentioned you're doing.
So like episode one next Wednesday at 8:30 will be spaghetti puttanesca, which is basically a kind of a spicy tomato sauce with some olives and capers through spaghetti. 8 minutes start to finish. It's the thing, if you're coming home and you have a crowd to feed on a Wednesday night, you go, do you know what, I'll try that. It's really, really easy, really tasty. We've got a chicken and mushroom pie, which I've done with that sort of restaurant. It looks like something out of an art gallery, but at its heart, it's chicken and mushroom in a pie. There's a great apple tart tatin recipe. There's a pasta using pork mince. There's a broth using chicken legs that you just throw in the slow cooker in the morning and forget about it for the day. So again, it's always coming back to, what do people have in their fridges? It's, mm-hmm. it's mince, it's chicken, it's fruit, it's veg. And trying, ideally I want people to watch it and go, oh, I buy that in the supermarket every week and that's something I've never done. I'm going
to
try
that. You want to, when you're busy and you're trying to feed your family at night, you want to make something that's convenient, but you don't want to feel like you've failed. You know,
no.
that you've just thrown something up on the table that's not very enjoyable. You want to feel that it's nice.
Well, there's no failure at home. Like, I fail all the time, as my wife, Grani, will tell me. But generally, if you add a bit of salt and maybe a bit of lemon juice and a touch of olive oil,
you can disguise the failure.
You're like, okay, yeah, no, it's, I call it functional eating.
Yes.
And as I'm so busy and cooking a bit more at home, it is things like the slow cooker and the air fryer and the putting stuff on a tray and forgetting about it for an hour and it's ready to go. That's kind of what I want to cook at home. So we're taking those ideas and just sexing them up a bit for this TV show.
Yeah,
and then you have all your lovely landscape and whatnot and added in.
Of course, yeah, and that enriches it. But you know, when you're cooking at home, I find for children you're trying to experiment a little bit or, you know, make things a bit different, but they just won't eat it because they want the very basic, the simple food, the stuff that we all grew up eating, and you understand why we all grew up eating it because that's what children like to eat.
Mm. Well, I kind of, well, you'd like to tell them, well, cook your own dinner then if you want something else. But yeah, no, it's as I say, it's all about, for me, the key is the ingredients. It's, I don't want anyone watching the show and going, because I see a lot of cooking shows and you go, I'd have to find some obscure supermarket on the other side of the country to find that one ingredient that's going to cost me 25 quid. That's always the thing I try to avoid. And then now, as I'm getting a bit older and busier, it's how do I save people time? And at the end of the day, they're probably, you look at all the dishes and you go, it kind of sounds restaurant-y and cool. It looks a bit different. But at its heart, it's really quick and easy to do. It's nutritious. It's using great Irish ingredients. And using ingredients that I have in my fridge already.
Yeah. And you love being back in Kerry.
I do. And it was great to shoot in the house with my parents because they only ever see the TV show finished.
Are they on the telly for this one?
They're in it, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
they're
great.
In it. They're going to see the ad now next week, which will completely spook them. But to see that it takes hours and hours to make one recipe there, my poor old lad was getting very impatient and the house was turned upside down.
Well, he doesn't cook, does he? I remember you telling us before that it was your mother, it was Monica who did all the cooking.
Yeah, Monica's good. Tom, no, God bless him. Does
he try?
No. And he's really settled into retirement, into the lifestyle of he doesn't even need to try. But hopefully now being on the TV on RT1 in front of the whole parish will wake him up a bit. And as well for Ventry as well, obviously, not that I'm from there, but there's kind of like semi-local was the term we were given as kids. So to be able to showcase
Blow-ins. Apart from your dad.
We were just above the blow-in stage.
Were you? Okay.
But to be able to showcase Quinn's and the parish and a couple of the farmers and obviously the beautiful sea and get the old lad Tom out in his boat. That's going to be really cool to see on RT as well.
So what, we see him out fishing, do we?
Yes, yeah. Smiling, in fact. It's the first time he's smiled or he's been caught smiling in years.
We look forward to it. It sounds great. So it starts next Wednesday. Next Wednesday at 8:30 on RT1,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's the off-duty chef bringing it home all the way back to Kerry. Lovely to have you with us again, Mark. Sure. We'd love to see you again soon. That's next Wednesday, the 1st of May, RT1 at 8:30.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.